Christian living. The title is, You're Saved, You've Been Justified, Now What? A lot of young kids, especially for me, when I first got saved, it was a struggle for me to know where to go from. I'm saved, I just got baptized, I'm going through discipleship, I'm going through all of these different things, being trained in the home. I've got to move forward in the way that I think what I know is right. What does the Bible have to say about that? I'd like to first off give thanks to Pastor Graves and just for the opportunity to teach the class, just to give the Word of God. It's definitely an important stance. You know, when you take the pulpit, you have to remember it's a holy place. When you take a manner of teaching, it's a holy place. So you've got to be a clean vessel for God to use. So pray for me. Pray for Pastor. Pray for those that will be teaching. They are handling God's Word, and I truly believe from the Word of God, you should be a clean vessel. When I first got saved, I accepted the gospel as a child. And at that moment, my parents reminded me of how excited I was and ecstatic that I had received the gospel. I came home one Thursday night after hearing a great message from Pastor Rick Owens. He's in Missouri now, serving at Merrimack Valley Baptist Church. One Thursday night, I heard a message, and it's very rare that people accept the gospel the first time they hear it. For me, I'd heard it all my life growing up. My grandpa was a pastor. My mom, she raised me to know the scriptures. My parents, they were very active in my Christian education. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the leaders in my life that had helped me. Pastor Owens had taken me to the back, and he had shown me from the Word of God that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I was only 8 years old, and I knew then for sure I was going to heaven. As I grew older, through the weeks and through the months, I'd realized more and more what the decision I had made, the eternal security that had taken place, the opportunities that would be given to me to lead others to Christ, to share the gospel. As Christians, after we come to Christ, where do we go from here? In a very real sense, I was still being fed the sincere milk of the Word. And the way that looked for me is I was involved in children's ministries and Sunday school and family devotions in the home. Basically, my parents, you know, and former pastors and men of leadership, like I said, were very proactive in my life and my Christian education. Eventually, though, I needed to start feeding myself, not fully depending on family devotions or just church attendance. A lot of pastors and churches love to use the phrase three to thrive. And I love that phrase, three to thrive. But we're getting fed here. How are we getting fed at home? We need to be in our daily devotions. We need to be reading it for ourselves, picking up the fork and feeding ourselves. Can I have, let's have Rael read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. As I prepared for this message, a lot of verses came to mind on this topic of sanctification. After we get saved, we're justified. And does anybody know what it means to be justified from that point of salvation? Anybody can raise their hand. Anybody have an understanding? Brother Justin? Great, great. Anyone else? In the teens? Well, I love the term when it comes to being justified, declared righteous. We have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, and He is the one who declares us righteous. There are so many songs and so many verses we can pull up, but the best picture we can see is when we get saved, and from that point of salvation, we accept Christ, God no longer sees our sinful state. God sees Christ in us. Rael, could you read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15? Amen. Like I said, your devotions need to be a big part of your personal life. Study to show thyself approved. Growing up, the interest of contending for the faith started to cultivate inside me, and just like the desire to contend for the faith grew inside me, God also put a desire to preach the gospel in my heart. From a young age, I believe I was around 10 or 11 years old, God put the desire in me to preach the gospel, share those. And as I grew up, it was very easy for me to talk to talk about the Lord to my friends and family. I remember not too fondly because I wasn't super equipped, very well equipped to preach. I remember being able to speak to my cousins and my friends, and I'm sure at some points I was not saying things the best way. But as I grew older and I was growing in the admonition of the Lord, I was growing and I was learning and being taught properly how to use the word, how to rightly divide the scriptures. Can I have, let's have Corinne read Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Whenever you're ready, Corinne. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have to be aware of how to use it. I was talking to Brother Eddie. We're on Friday. I was invited to come help set up the playground, start building that. And I was talking to Brother Eddie. And when you talk to the people, you've got to be very careful with how you use the two-edged sword. A lot of these people, they use it and they improperly handle it, hurting others, cutting themselves and cutting others. Let us be properly studied when it comes to the Word of God, when we share with others. It's a good desire to want to share the gospel. Let us be properly equipped. As Christians, we have roles. We each have a calling. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are called to be separate. Notice Peter here uses the word peculiar. In this world, we're meant to stand out. We are meant to shine. We are meant to be different. We shouldn't go to work and we shouldn't be the same as our buddy who makes those jokes we shouldn't laugh at. We shouldn't be the same talking about how our wife is just such a bother or such a nuisance in our lives. No, we shouldn't be talking about the discouraging things in our lives. How about we bring joy? The joy of the Lord into our workplace, the joy of the Lord in our family gatherings, the joy of the Lord in our homes. That's where it begins. That's where things, where we're most comfortable. God's word has a lot to say about this marvelous light that we should shine. We're the children of light. Each and every one of us that are saved, we are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 8 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." We are the children of light. We have responsibility. We have to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation, the hope that others can be saved. If we're going about our day just not really focused and just not really, not walking in the Spirit, not walking in the light, how can we spread this light to others if we ourselves aren't walking in the light? I would encourage you. The light of the Lord is such a beautiful thing that has been bestowed upon us, put in us by Jesus Christ. We should be compelled to share that light. How joyful was it the day that you got saved? Do you remember that day? Do you remember the day you got saved? Wasn't it the happiest moment of your life? For me, it was. What do you want others to share that? There's an example. I love this illustration. It's such a beautiful illustration. There was a doctor, and he had the cure to cancer, but he kept it to himself. And he knew of his own family members. He knew of his own coworkers, and he knew of his own best friends. And he had this cure. But he just wouldn't give it to anybody. He just was like, oh, well, somebody will discover it. Somebody else, I'm sure, has it, right? And if not, somebody will discover it soon enough. Why should it be my responsibility? Let's flip it a little bit. We have the cure for those who are on their way to hell. We have that cure. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that provides a light for those who don't know him. My mom, I love my mom. When we would go to school, when I was in middle school, even through my high school years, she would pray for us. And one of the things she would pray for us is let us befriend. She would always pray that we would befriend those who were lonely in school, and that we would be a light to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And that always stuck with me. Like as I grew up and as I was getting older, I was like, there's a reason my mom was saying that. Like there's so many bad influences in our schools. There's so many bad influences in our workplaces. My mom knew that as she trained us up, you know, my siblings, you know, and it allowed us to go to school with this in our minds. Let's pray for the children. Let's pray for our youth that we could be an example to them. I'm so thankful for my mom. She taught me so many things. She's always been such a big rock in my life that I could go to. And you know, we've had our differences. We've grown up together, but she's always been such a huge cornerstone in my life. And my dad as well. I'm so thankful for them, for the strength that they've raised me in. But let us be children of light, so that we can be those examples. We can be that in our homes, and we can be that in our workplaces and places we have influence. Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. We weren't always the light. We didn't always have this light from the Lord. But it's such a blessing that we do have it. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 8. And we'll read all the way down to verse 17. This is such a good passage. It's so much truth. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We live in evil times. That's why it's such important to put the emphasis on the influence of our children. They have friends, and they may not be the leader of their friend groups, and you may not even be the leader of your friend group at work or of in your family gatherings. I have cousins, and I was definitely not the ringleader of my cousins, but we have avenues of influence. Amen. We're to walk circumspectly, because even if we're not the ringleader of our groups, we're not the ones who have the most influence. We have influence. Yeah. And if we walk circumspectly and we're walking in the light, we're not going to step on those things. We're not going to step in the traps that Satan and the world have set for us that are already there. You don't have to look very far. When you train up a child, I mean, I'm sure my mom could testify of this. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to do those wrong things or the things that, or to disobey or to lie or hide what they're not supposed to be doing. We have that sin nature. Paul says, he speaks on how it's such a hard thing. As a saved person, the things I don't want to do, those things I do, and the things I should do, those things I don't. And the spirit is against the flesh. And the flesh lusts against the spirit. And they're contrary. They don't work together. It's important that we surround ourselves, even though we may not be the leader of each of our areas of influence, it's important that we surround ourselves with people who are wise. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, for the adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour our avenues of influence. And that's such a dangerous thing, because I think of my cousins, and I think of some of my closest friends, who I thought, they said they went to church. They said they went here. They said that they believed in God. But then as they grow up, you see where they're headed and you get concerned for them. You get sad and you get discouraged. Where was our influence in their lives? Where was our influence in their lives? We should have been that joy, that thing that could have sparked their interest in the Lord, the thing that could have brought them to Christ, so much closer to Christ. They knew God. They said it themselves. Let's cultivate that. It's so easy. Kids growing up, even in our smaller cities, they may not know Christ, but what about the ones that do? When the Bible talks about the devil walking about, seeking whom he may devour, he wants our avenues of influence. What makes us different? And what, are we doing anything to stand out? Let's be aware of our attitudes when we're at work. Let's be aware of our conversations with our family and friends. Let's be aware of our lifestyle at home, where we're most comfortable. And our guard is down. We're not where we're comfortable at home. I just got home from work. Leave me alone. I wanna watch my show. Leave me alone. I kind of just want to put my feet up and kind of relax. As children of light, we have roles. We're to walk in the light. Gabriel, once again, do you think you could read 1 John chapter 1? We're going to go verses 5 through 7. Amen. Thank you, Gabriel. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. We're to walk in that light. Not only does Satan destroy our avenues of influence, he destroys our fellowship with God and one with another. How easy is it for you to talk to your brother or your sister in Christ when you know that your life is in sin? When you know that you're involved with that one thing you shouldn't be involved in? That the Bible says, you know, I used to struggle with this understanding where, oh, well, the Bible doesn't say that it's wrong. There's nothing specific about this one thing. The Bible actually says, to him that is wrong and he does it, that's sin. If you were raised a certain way and you know that you shouldn't do this one thing that the Bible may not be specific about, and you do that, that is wrong. That is sin. You were raised upright with your parents. You were raised in these homes that where there was structure, and you have your own conscience. God already wrote the law in our hearts, so we know the structure. We have the responsibility to walk in the light. How well can our influence, our avenues of influence, be strengthened if we ourselves aren't walking in the light? We're supposed to spread joy. We're supposed to spread that good influence. We struggle. I struggle with that. I think of the times I could have done a lot better with my friends and my family and even with my brothers and sisters. It was such a hard thing for me to not be the center of attention at some points. And so for me to see that they were also growing and that they were doing better in their lives, in their walks with the Lord, it was such a hard thing for me. And it shouldn't have been. I should have been so happy, ecstatic that my siblings were so were growing. As a matter of fact, now my cousin, pray for him, he's in the Army, his name is Victor. He started going to church a lot more while he was in the Army, and I'm thankful for that, but it's a struggle. I've heard it said for men when I was considering going into the Army that it's such a hard thing to be a Christian in the Army. You begin to start habits and vices, and it's so easy. For him, I pray for him when I think of him, because he's an avenue of influence, and his avenue of influence will only strengthen with his walk. We also have the command to send the light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It doesn't seem like the hardest thing to do to send the light, but we just may not be inclined to it. And it's not the hardest thing when it's not like we're inclined to hide it either. You know, if you're a Christian, you should show it. But the danger here is we may not actively look for ways to hide our light, but we can tend to allow the struggles and trials and discouragements of our life be that bushel in which our light is hid. We should be careful of that. Like I said, we should be joy. We should be that thing that sparks the interest in those who don't know Christ. The Bible talks about salt being a savor, something that it should have. And if that salt no longer has savor, it's not even worth being trodden underfoot of men. Our lives and our lifestyle and our conversation should be something that makes people interested in coming to church. That person is different. The way that he talks, the way that he lives, the way that he conducts himself. Well, the way that she encourages me every day, she has a smile on her face. She's never discouraged. And when she is, she's not, she doesn't gossip or she's not discouragement to me. We should be different. We should be glad that we have the opportunity to be that difference for the Lord. The Bible says that the world will hate us, but it hated him first. It hated Jesus first. We should count it all joy when we struggle for the Lord. That's a hard thing, no? To struggle for God, because it's like, oh, we've already given him our life. Like, it's such a hard thing. We have given him our life. Part of life is struggling. Part of life is going through things. You know, a lot of people tell me, it's like, why am I gonna be a Christian if I know that, like, I'm still going to struggle with all these things? I mean, if you don't be a Christian, you're still going to struggle with those things anyways. Just this time you have that joy. This time you have the help of the gospel. This way you have a new family in God. We don't just have these people in church we can just mess around with and joke around with. I love Brother Edward. I joke around with him probably more than he does with me. But that fellowship, that encouragement we should have for each other. Hey, brother, how's your walk? Hey, brother, how's your week been? Hey, sister, how have you been? Praying for you, brother. Praying for you, sister. Walking in the Lord is also cultivating our fellowship with one another. Now that we're aware of who we are, let's look at something that the Bible has to say about our lifestyle. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Be of one mind. I don't think there's any strivings here against each other here. Any strife, I hope not. But I'm so thankful. When I pray with the men on Thursday evenings, I always try to mention the warmth of this church. When we started coming here, it's such a blessing. We've been to churches where it seems so cold. You know, the members, they come in and they leave, and you know, but here there's just that excitement. There's just that blessing to be here, and you're just happy you show up. Pastor's smiling, the members here are talking with each other, being a blessing to one another. That's not everywhere, and that's such a blessing. I'm so thankful for the Lord for this church. But let our lifestyle and let our conversation outside of church become the gospel. That word become means to make it look presentable, beautiful. Beautify our conversation so that people may see who we are as Christians. We know who we are. We know our roles. Some practical application I think that we should all seek to have is some simple things. Let's have a smile a little bit more. Smile a little bit more. We have Jesus, no? Let's smile a little bit more. Let's have a reason. Let's remember the reason why we smile. I know a lot of times it can be a difficult thing. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. And then that fire kind of dims out. That's actually why we have revival. That's actually why we have revival services and conference and teen camps. Just like us adults. I say adults, it sounds so weird. Just like us adults need that revival and need that encouragement in the Lord from the Bible, our teens need that. Our teens need that so much. They're in the world probably worse than it was than well, I say that, but it's like, then you guys had it when it was harder. And that's not an excuse. It's just we have more of a reason to be more educated, more prepared. I pray for this congregation. I pray for this church. I have a strong hope, and I see a great vision. When I talk to Pastor about just the different things he talks about when it comes to like moving forward in the church and just different opportunities, I always try to mention, like, I see a great vision here. I see great opportunity for the Lord to work here. I'm so thankful for you faithful members. You guys have this opportunity to be an encouragement and a light to even your fellow members and your fellow brothers and sisters. And I'm so thankful for you guys. You guys have been an encouragement to me, and I'm so thankful. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you just for the opportunity to give your word, Lord. I pray that this would be something we can all take with us, Lord. Help us to remember to be that light in some small way, some way to be different, be peculiar, Lord. Lord, help me in that way, Lord. I'm preaching to myself this morning, Lord. I pray that this would just be a help to all of us. I pray that you would be with the services to come, be with each and every one of the members. Protect them on the roads, Lord. It's raining. Just keep us warm as we can be, Lord. And I pray that you would be with the rest of this week, Lord. Please be with Pastor as he leads the next service, Lord. And just be with the days to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. I'm so thankful for this opportunity.